Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
This is Dirt and Spray.
In other news, the Prime Minister of Sweden visited Washington today, and my tiny little nipples went to France.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Spray.
You might have noticed I've got a slight weight problem.
No.
Yeah, I do.
No.
Yeah, I do. I went to this doctor. He told me I swallowed a lot of aggression along with a lot of pizzas.
Dirt and Spray on 1080.
I want to party with you, Cowboy.
If the two of us together, forget it.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Second hour, Dirt and Sprague here on The Fan. We've got a former NFL coach who can't even win in high school now. He's probably done coaching.
That's a bad sign.
Matt Nagy has some comments. We got crunch time, stat or story with hookers involved. Oh, Swiss hookers. Thank you.
You're so crass.
Okay, credit it, okay? Come on, man.
What do you call them if... Okay, so it's a brothel. What do you call them?
Well, I'm not sex referencing...
Workers. Sex workers.
By the way, when are we going to have brothels? When's that going to be legal?
That's a good question. I have a crazy story, too, from Reddit about a wedding night sex ritual that I would like to bring up on the show as well. And would you be okay with it?
I didn't have sex on my wedding night.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not proud of that story, but...
Were you too hammered?
No.
No.
The circumstances did not present itself, and you think it would on a wedding night?
Ah, interesting.
But it didn't.
Okay, well, I want to know how you would feel if you're...
Who fell asleep first? Who was tired? Were you all tuckered out?
It was the in-law parents sleeping on the couch outside our bedroom that kind of did everything in.
You want to get into this right now?
No.
Because we can, because it's almost identical to the story that I'm going to bring up.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the story. We got married in Hawaii.
Okay.
It was beautiful. It was great. I loved it. We went to a luau right after, walked to it, had a great time. Yeah, we had some cocktails.
Sure.
Went back to our hotel. We hung out with some family for an hour. By this time, it's like 10:30.
A little later at night.
Wife and I get out of the beach, have a nice little walk. It felt great. First time in Hawaii. We go upstairs. I'm thinking, all right, gonna get lit. The in-laws are sleeping on the couch right outside the door with our daughter. And it basically turned into, I'm not getting into this right with this situation.
This is not gonna happen.
I remember specifically laying on my side going, I'm not going to have sex on my wedding night?
What are the chances that happens?
I never thought this would happen.
I'm calling the front desk at that point and see if somebody can do me a favor. I was like, listen.
I need some help.
Okay, now
here.
Can I lay this scenario out to you?
We've dropped a lot of money in your establishment this weekend.
Open up another room for me right now.
I have a little bit of an issue. Can you help me out?
These are very fair observations and points. The problem was... The in-laws paid for our hotel room.
Ah. Okay, so
that was their gift to us.
We're getting into this now. I don't care what you have planned here.
Okay.
So this is hilarious that you bring that up. So this came from Reddit, and it's a guy who's 23 years old, and he's getting married to his girlfriend, also 23 years old.
Very young, by the way.
Young. It's a pretty young age to get married, right? So they're planning out their wedding, yada, 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 and some of the family on her side has been, like, making jokes to him about wedding night rituals, and he's, like, never really understood what they were talking about. Like, huh, what's going on? So they were talking about, finally he had a conversation with his girlfriend or fiance, soon to be wife, about where they're going to spend the night on their wedding night. And he said, we could rent a suite and all this kind of stuff. Like, let's do something special. You only get married once. She tells him there's no need to get a room. because they're going to stay. No need to get a bridal suite because they're going to stay at their at her parents' house the night of the wedding.
Okay.
His initial reaction is like, okay, what did he write? We're trying to save money for a deposit on a house anyways, but whatever. But he said, she seems like she has more to say about it. So I push, why does she want to stay there other than just saving money? She tells me there's a really old tradition in her family on their wedding night. Okay, ready for this?
Live studio audience.
Ready for this?
Laugh track.
The husband and wife, apparently in this family tradition, the husband and wife go to the master bedroom together where they're supposed to consummate the marriage. The rest of the family waits outside the bedroom door and applauds them and cheers them when they come out of the bedroom, at which point a piece of the bedsheet is cut off and sewn into a big tapestry that the girlfriend's mother owns. So he's saying, I don't want anything to do with this. I am totally freaked out. Like, I don't know how to handle the situation. It's going to derail the whole wedding. But it's this, like, long-term family tradition that they've done. And,
oh, my God. I couldn't even put that into words.
Sure, here's the almost funny part, too, is I don't even know if this is worse. She says, I get that you're freaked out. She offered to go in there and, like, just fake it. So the family thought what was happening and then walk out. So they didn't actually have to do it.
Is that to set a precedent for the rest of the marriage?
But that's what he's saying. Like, I don't even know if that's worse.
Most of the time.
What's worse? Actually doing it in front of the family or faking that you're doing it in front of the family?
How
faking
large it is the tapestry right? At faking this point? That would be my... Is there also a picture of the tapestry?
There's not a picture of the tapestry.
Don't touch the tapestry.
That's poor editing right there. Do not touch that tapestry. We need better production. Oh, there should be a picture of the tapestry
what
right
pervert
next to it.
Started this family
Dude,
tradition?
Isn't that this is a Shroot Farms kind of thing. Yeah. He went to the Reddit relationship advice page and posted this whole thing and asked, what do I do?
I'm not being sarcastic here. I think I'm really reconsidering.
You have to, right?
You still love her, but you have to take at least a day to go, do I want to be involved with this kind of tradition?
When you're walking out giving high fives,
it's breaking
to her family afterwards. Like,
I'm just thinking there might be a lot of foreplay that night.
Yeah.
We'll see how patient the family is.
We're going to draw this one out.
I'm going to try some things.
You're going one of two ways here. You're going, everybody loves Raymond. Did you watch that show?
I did, yeah.
So you remember there was an episode where his older brother, who hates him, is living with his parents. And his parents are trying to get him to have a baby.
Oh, God.
And so if they don't hear him having sex, Ray's mom would come knock on the door.
Yeah,
like,
hey,
what's wrong?
Why aren't we getting busy right now?
So they got so tired of it. He started just sitting on the bed and pounding a chair onto the floor.
What's up, Brad Garrett?
Brad Garrett, yeah. To make it sound like they're having sex.
And the mom hears it like, all right, good. There's a grandchild coming soon.
So you're either doing that or you are making the loudest noises that are unimaginable. You're going like porn noises in that room to make everybody outside drastically uncomfortable.
Yes. As awkward as it could possibly be.
I mean, severely just,
this is weird.
I don't think you're going to make that family that uncomfortable.
Imagine the next Thanksgiving,
they might
want to
be like, can we get in on that?
This is so, that's why when you brought up the fact that your in-laws were sleeping outside the door, I said, this translates perfect to the story I wanted to bring up.
Yeah, it was not a same
thing. No, I'm not saying that was the tradition.
No,
I thought you couldn't execute because the family was outside. Imagine if they were waiting outside.
Hold on. Hold on.
Imagine if they're waiting outside.
I find
you.
Full stop. I never once said I couldn't execute with the family outside. I said the wife and I looked at each other and just kind of said it ain't happening with
we'll wait.
Dad and mom out there.
We'll wait.
Wow. I can execute with a mom and dad outside the door.
I'm sorry for questioning your execution abilities.
I'm going to have to stay late and make some new show
ideas.
You don't know what high school Sprague used to do. There used to be a lot of executing next to the parents' bedroom.
Somebody tweeted us, too, asking what part of the sheet do they cut off?
Oh, you know.
Meeting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that
the stain riddled?
Right. What's that quilt look like?
Do they wash it, or is this like a proud family tradition where there's just a stain-colored tapestry?
I'm never going to look at a family tapestry the same if you ever go to somebody's house.
Look at Harold's corner. It's really dark.
That one's from 1937. Haven't washed it in 80 years.
I really want to know the disturbed father or mother in the backstory of this family,
dude,
created this tradition, because how did this not get shot down at some point? Wouldn't the kids of the originators of the idea think, this is really weird, I don't want to do this?
Somebody said I'm plugging in a Bluetooth and playing animal sex noises. What was that? What is going on in there? Did they bring a cow into the bedroom? Is there a couple of turtles roaming around the floor?
Oh, feels great, baby.
God.
Yeah, you're running. If your in-laws ask for this, you're running, man.
Yeah, I want nothing to do with this.
Yeah, no thanks.
I mean, look, it was, I'll say this too, on the family note, there's always kind of that untalked about awkwardness in this regard, but I think you owe it to us, and I am including Swigard, myself, and every other friend that participated in your bachelor golf tournament in this regard. Your fiance had family at this thing. Mm-hmm. None of us made any sexual references at all.
No.
And mainly it was because...
Yeah, you want to... Yeah.
I don't want to make them uncomfortable.
It's a respect thing, man.
Yes.
Right. If I went to a bachelor party, because some of them were cousins too. Like if I went to a bachelor party of my... like future cousin-in-law of my female cousin. Like, I wouldn't want to hear that kind of stuff.
No,
you don't bring that stuff up around family, man. It's off limits.
Yeah, I mean, like when I'm looking at her brother, I'm like, I'm not going to bring this up. This is not appropriate.
I want to join you guys and do nipple shots off of Gronkowski's torso.
And this family thinks it's perfectly normal to do the duty right a door away.
Yeah, this is some messed up stuff, man.
Anybody else not do it on their wedding night? Am I alone in this?
No, people text it, and a lot of people get too tired on their wedding night.
Hammered, tired,
drunk, hammered, whatever. You're running around doing stuff.
And like you say, if you have a destination wedding,
I'm already in paradise.
You're already, like, everybody's in the same locale.
We had a kid before we got married. We consummated the marriage before getting married.
It was clearly already consummated.
As opposed to you have a separate destination on wedding night from where the event is.
Mm.
Yeah.
Do you think, real quick, and we'll go to the SEC story here. Do you think it's becoming more and more, I don't know if common or okay is the right term here, but the idea of not having relations prior to marriage, that used to be a big deal. Like people would be pregnant, a month pregnant, and they would get married
to try to cover
up that they got pregnant before getting married.
Right. Shotgun wedding.
I feel like that's becoming a very normal thing of, they're probably doing it. And not that it wasn't, but it's like the parents used to...
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty
commonplace
now.
The standard used to be, you don't do it till you get married.
Right.
And people would lie about it, of course.
Sure.
But people would always have that feeling. It feels now it's like more common that there's not that pressure.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's some people I think that are still old school that will always hold those traditions and they don't view it the same way. Like my brother had that a little bit when he first moved to North Carolina. They moved in with her parents and lived with them for a couple of months before they got settled and found an apartment and stuff. And the parents made them sleep in different bedrooms. So it was one of those, like, they were in the same house.
What?
He had his
room. Were
they
married?
They were not married yet, but had been dating for 4+ years, and they got married like 2 years or a year and a half after that.
They were together for 4 years, and the parents would let them sleep.
They said, no, they sleep in different bedrooms.
Wow.
And it's like, they went to college together for 4 years. What do you think happened? Like, really?
I'll tell you what he did to her.
I want
to
join you guys and do nipple shots off of Gronkowski's torso.
Gronkowski.
Exactly.
I'll tell you that's what happened.
I think some people still have those old traditions. A great text, though, from P1 Sean. He said, what happens when there's a divorce in the family? Do you tear that piece of the quilt off or does it stay on?
I think you keep it on and you say, this is how big the tapestry's grown.
That was Billy Bob. He's no longer in the family, but...
which members of the family have multiple squares of the quilt?
Yeah, I was going to say...
Good point.
Do you sew the new tapestry from the second marriage onto the first marriage tapestry?
Yeah, over it, or is it just like next to each other? Like one guy has his whole row on the tapestry.
You know, Jessica, Sean's stain is a lot bigger than Andrew's here. I think you need to reconsider. What?
Sabrina's got her own pillowcase at this point.
Don't ask to borrow Sabrina's pillow. That's a no-no. We don't do that in this family. Hey, the SEC wants to play football. Their guidelines are not great. We'll talk about that next on The Fan. Great text here at The Fan text line. 503-250-1080. That's 503-250-1080. Put it in your phone. Our call-in number is now our text line.
Is it working now? Or is it, okay, it's working now?
That's why we did the announcement.
It's working now.
Okay, okay. But 5535 lasts till June 1st?
Yeah, it will no longer work as of June 1st.
Yeah, it'll eventually die out.
So you got a week grace here to get the new one in.
Cody asks, how stiff is the tapestry?
It's like stale. When you grab it.
Why are the pages stuck together?
Like when you shake it out, it just cracks. That's all the tapestry does. I mean, that's what it is. Okay. Coronavirus sucks.
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if you guys knew that or not.
It does.
Not fun.
I am over it. Rona, I am done with you.
The tweets we are getting.
Yeah, people are on fire today. Well played, everybody.
I want to say this real quick. I want to get to the SEC story.
Michael Jordan hugging all of his teammates. You after you consummate your marriage. Yeah, guys, did you hear that? Woo!
I'm just thinking.
Way to go, John!
If that's my family, do I have to do like a introduction, like, you know, starting lineup sort of thing?
And now, the right testicle.
It's already like, I can't even imagine what it's going to be like for you someday when you have to marry off your daughters. Like that already, like just thinking of that has to be the toughest thing for any father.
Cool.
Let's talk about that.
If you add
when your daughters have to consummate their marriage.
If you add in the fact that you're then supposed to wait outside the room and high five the guy on the wedding night. Dude, no, I want nothing to do with that.
You know, I think most guys, when they think of the idea of having daughters, they assume that they're going to be like that Bad Boys 2 scene with the kid coming to the door.
With the gun at the door. Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to come up with the gun. I might give a kid a bit of a slight hard time.
Sure.
I always had pretty cool dads in relationships in my life. I think I'm going to be that way. Now, I'm going to have an opinion. And if they're dating early, I'll help them if they have. Yeah, what do you think?
Depends on the kind of kid, too.
Well,
and also
sure.
The age of the relationship.
I'm sure they're going to date some trash bags. But when they get to, like, college, post-college relationships.
Yeah, then
dude, I'm done caring.
Like, yeah, you're an adult at that point.
If you get married or if you get pregnant, that's kind of on you. And I'm ready to be a grandparent. But don't make it happen unless you're ready. That's kind of all I have.
Granddad Spritz, let's go.
Stop. Stop. There's a Brandon Spritz in Portland that's like, why am I getting shouted out on a sports radio
station? Stop saying my name, man.
By the way, sounds like he's doing really well for himself. So kudos to that Spritz guy. All right. So coronavirus sucks.
Oh, God.
It's not great. But colleges are getting kids back in June. Oklahoma's going to wait till July 1st. Lincoln Riley was pretty adamant about this. But ultimately, all these schools are coming back. When this announcement came from all these different universities, it kind of was just understood testing is ready and they know what they're doing. And I'm not arguing against the point, in case anybody wants to text us in, I'm not going to argue against the point that kids actually might be better off at campuses.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a very valid 100% spot on observation. But I don't think that's the point of this. I think the point is, one, is it truly fair? Whether the student athlete signs off or signs on for it, is it truly fair to tell them they can't make money off their name, image, likeness, or get a little more money in their stipends, but then in crisis tell them they have to be unlike every other student?
Right, it's not safe for anybody else.
And it goes from being student athlete to just athlete because you need them to save your ass and make billions of dollars back.
Right.
I think that's a valid thing to talk about. We can disagree on it, but I think it's a conversation worth having. Well, all of these schools are announcing these guidelines. The SEC, you're having multiple schools come out and openly say they're not going to test student athletes when they return to campus. They're only going to test them if they show symptoms.
Yeah.
And again, I'm all for student athletes wanting to go play football. That's great. That seems a bit problematic and not the way you should be operating. Am I wrong on that?
I don't think so. And the part of it, because for the most part, 18 to 22-year-olds are not immune from the virus. Obviously, they can get it. But the health risks and the negative ramifications aren't what they are for other segments of the population.
They are largely okay in this concern. We all know that.
And we have pointed that out for Pac-12 campuses, right? Like, there hasn't been a single death on any Pac-12 community for somebody 18 to 22 years old from the coronavirus. So, from that angle, like, I get it, you're not quite concerned about the risks. I think the part of it, though, that always needs to get brought up is the unintended consequences of that. And the fact remains, you have how many people on the coaching staff that are of certain ages that maybe have those same health risks? How many people around the program are dealing with that same thing? How many people in those players' families are dealing with the same thing? Are you not going to allow them to see their families during the season? Are they able to go home if there's a bye week? Do you keep them on campus? Because I think one of the scariest parts about the whole virus the entire time has been the fact that a lot of people, especially younger folks, can be asymptomatic and not realize that they have it, or you show very minor symptoms. How many of us sit around and say, man, I think I had it in March. Like, we had a really bad sore throat and I coughed for a while and I wasn't feeling great. I might have had it. I didn't get tested. There wasn't testing available. Like, that's the part. Like, I'm not scared that much about 18 to 22 year old kids getting sick and dying from the coronavirus. It's the ripple effect that comes from that. And if you're not going to test them, I think you're setting yourself up for some scary situations of maybe it spreads, a couple of them get it, they don't know that they have it, they pass it to somebody on the coaching staff, or they pass it to somebody on their family. That's what you don't want to happen.
And I think that's the tough part too. And by the way, it's such a, I don't even know if it's even 1%, it's less than that. But there is a portion of student athletes that they don't even know that there is an underlying health condition.
Sure.
I mean, Oregon State had a player die 8-9 years ago, Fred Thompson, he's a defensive tackle. Two days before he died, I talked to him. Yeah. I was doing a piece on the football team. He was supposed to be a young, up-and-coming, I think he was a sophomore going into his junior year, and he was going to be a contributing member of their defense. A big dude. I think he was 6'3", 290, he's a big kid. He died 2 days after I talked to him. He had a heart condition.
Yeah, no clue.
And a lot of people didn't know. Now, I think he, if I recall right, he knew, but he didn't think it was bad enough for that to happen. But whatever that percentage of student athletes are, they have that and they can think they're okay. And again, largely the numbers say, I'm not going against the numbers here. 18 to 22 year olds mm-hmm. are okay. So my problem is not, oh, they're going to get sick and be ill.
Right. Half of them are going to die. Like,
no. It is. It's the ramifications of it. And if you get one that tests positive, I mean, that in itself is a different study. And it's largely impossible that one kid has it and nobody else within the program has it. Yeah. You mentioned the coaching staff. If you can do this successfully, if Pac-12 teams, right? Because Kate Brown had a thing where she basically said, Oregon and Oregon State will not get left behind.
No, she will support them to make sure they don't lose an advantage.
Which is why I was trying to tell people, you cannot like Kate Brown for whatever reason. Her personally, her politically, doesn't matter to me. What I didn't like was that everybody was pinning a quote from her and saying, this is how it's going to be. In the moment, it sounds bad, but I think much like Michigan's president, she's trying to get people more prepared that this season could not happen. And it didn't mean that it was concrete. When she came out the other day, she said she doesn't want Oregon State to fall behind. I thought that was encouraging. And that's probably going to mean no attendance at football games. And sure, that's going to suck big time for both those programs and universities money-wise. But I think that's where she's going. I view the SEC, and obviously they're the SEC. They care more than anybody else. There's no doubt. Some schools in the Big Ten, same thing. Florida schools as well. I just don't like it. I'm okay with you doing a season. If you can do a season, great. That actually benefits me professionally, and I'm rooting for that. I just don't like that we're rolling out, opening everything back up student-athlete-wise, and one, not talking about, is this kind of unfair and hypocritical of us? Mm-hmm. And two, do you have adequate testing? Lincoln Riley is in a, you know, he's in a very interesting position. He's the head coach of the program in Oklahoma. And I would say 75% of the Oklahoma fans probably disagree sure. with the West Coast ideas of how we view this, right? That's kind of what this has become. He came out and said, we're not going back until we know more. Now, they're going back in July, but that's almost a month past every other program that said they're going to open things yep. back up. So my only concern is that you want to do this, fine, but they acted like they were ready to go on all fronts. A lot of these universities are saying they're not going to do testing unless yeah. there's symptoms shown. How many asymptomatic young people have we had cases with? That, right. There's a decent number of that.
Right. And there's no right or wrong answer here, because no matter what you do, there's eventually going to be something that happens, even if you
see,
test.
I think that's wrong. I think there's a wrong answer having yes. testing yeah, I'm with you right
there.
Away.
I'm with you there. But the point I'm trying to make is, even if you test guys when they show up, that doesn't mean that the coronavirus can't spread amongst the team, right? How often are you going to test them? How constant is it? what are the protocols when you're traveling and you're going from city to city in your conference to play games.
Yeah.
Like, there's still a lot more to figure out than just simply testing them early on. But this will be something, and I think we'll do this with all the professional sports, and we'll do it with college sports as well, where we'll look back. Maybe it's a year from now, maybe it's a year and a half from now, maybe it's 6 months from now. And I think you'll be able to say some people did it right and some people did it wrong. And as of now, we don't know which way this is all going to turn out and who's going to be hurt from it in the long run. But we're going to look back on this, and the way people handle it will be judged. And for some of them, it'll be successful. And I'm just hoping that there's not flare-ups and something doesn't go sideways that ends up costing us potentially a season.
Very quick, your thoughts on the schools that have announced it in the Big Ten and the SEC. If they have two or three players test positive, do you think they're going to stop the entire program, or do you think they're going to try to isolate and keep going?
I think they try and isolate.
Yeah. See, and
that would be my guess.
I worry about them. Maybe at that point they would test and they could figure that out. But
do you test everybody on the team, everybody in the coaching staff,
you
every
have
trainer?
To.
I mean, that's
you have to.
You're talking about 100 people.
Yeah, you are.
Coaches, training staff, team doctors, every physician, like everybody that's around the team.
Yeah, The Athletic wrote about this, and they did have an anonymous player survey, and it said, if only athletes are on campus, it would not feel like our health is a priority. With adequate testing available, I'm not worried about the return to campus. My biggest concern is what will happen if and when a player tests positive. Now, that's just one anonymous player.
That's a huge issue for every league, man. Even Major League Baseball, with their health protocols, came out and said players have to be ready. I think the NBA said the same thing as well. You have to be ready. If there is a positive test, things will not stop.
I just don't want to suddenly downplay something that's killed 100,000 people. I just think that's my personal opinion. I think that's a mistake. I wish they would have better adequate testing, but maybe this will end up, they'll be okay. I hope that they are and we get the season, but here we are on a May 27th talking about what will or may not work or what their guidelines are. But so far in the SEC, you've had some schools come out and say, yeah, we're not going to test when they get here. We'll test if they show symptoms. All right, coming up next, a head coach who went from the top coaching in the NFL to being a scrub in high school. Boy, what a fall this was. We'll tell you who that was next.
Jeff Passan did a really good breakdown last night of what players would be making under Major League Baseball's proposal. And some of the numbers were a little startling, and I wonder if it changes people's perceptions of things. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour of the show. If I put either of you two in charge of a high school football program in the state of Oregon, and you're the head coach and I gave you 2 years, how many games do you think you could win?
Am I coaching West Lynn, Laco, or Park Rose?
In between.
So
I'm coaching Sunset.
You're coaching Sunset. Get put you in charge
games?
Of Sunset. How many games could you win?
Well, this is an easy job. So I'm going to hire the right coordinators.
Call the plays for you.
No, I mean, honestly, I would probably be lucky to win one. I don't know enough scheme wise to be able to help. I would understand certain elements because I played football, but I would be so limited, dude. We would be terrible.
You think you could win one, though?
Yeah, I could win one.
You can win one game?
You can put one. You can put one together,
right? We just schedule Cleveland, and we'd be 1-0.
Wow. Yeah.
You can schedule a cupcake.
Have they won since you left?
I actually don't know the answer to that. I don't follow them year in, year out. What an
alum we've got here.
They have not won much. I know that.
It's okay. My school wins, and then the coaches leave. So that's kind of how that goes.
He's gone. That was kind of a bummer. Well, if you could win one over 2 years, that means you could win as many high school football games as one former NFL coach that at one point was very well thought of in the National Football League.
Mm.
And P1 Anthony's question, no, it is not Jeff Fisher. Jeff Fisher has not been fired from a high school football coaching job.
That is 7-9.
Didn't he get consideration for the Cowboy gig for a minute?
Oh, God.
Remember that? Before McCarthy, wasn't his name thrown out there? And someone was like, really?
Why didn't that happen?
The name thrown out there versus actual got consideration, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Fisher, are two different things.
I know Fisher's name was brought up with one of the gigs, and someone was like, still?
Really?
We're still trying the Jeff Fisher thing?
We haven't figured that one out yet. No, the coach that is now out of a high school coaching job is Mike Singletary. Mm. Can't win with him. Can't coach him.
Didn't have any winners.
I'm going to moon your ass.
He's going to pull. He didn't pull his pants down at halftime, apparently, enough. So
that would be a pedophile move.
Very true. That's frowned upon at the high school ranks. He was apparently the head coach. He also, I guess, coached in the AAF. I forgot about that. He went 2-6 in the AAF before they shut down. But he was the head coach of the Trinity Christian Academy in Texas.
Sounds like he got some good talent,
right?
Too.
Is anybody up on their...
Isn't that Deion Sanders?
Texas high school football? I don't know.
High school like his kid's high school?
Trinity Christian Academy. If you know anything about it, let us know at the text line, 55305 or 503-250-1080.
Probably a lot of Christian academies in the state of Texas, though.
Very true. He submitted his resignation so he could focus, apparently, on motivational speaking and consulting opportunities. And he was the head coach there for two seasons.
If you're 0 for 2 years, you better self-evaluate that motivational speaking.
Well, hey, it wasn't 0 for. He went 1-21. They went 0-11, or his first year in 2018, they went 1-10. He got one dub. They tried to build on it in 2019, and he went 0-11.
He went 1-10.
1-10 and 0-11. He won one high school football game in 2 years as their head coach, 1-21.
He's a Hall of Fame all-pro linebacker for one of the nastiest defenses, and he couldn't win more than one game in a season?
And you also, like, think if Mike Singletary, like, let's say Mike Singletary became a head coach at, like, some random school, like Putnam. Okay. You know what I mean? Like, wouldn't there be a lot of kids that would probably end up transferring to go play for him? Like, that happens all over the place.
Yeah, you're
if it's Mike
and
Singletary,
and you're at a private school, you can't recruit.
If you're at private school, yes. If you're at Putnam,
it's like coaching at Central Catholic, man.
Yeah, it's very similar to that. There is a skill in that,
sure.
But you are at a good institution,
right,
that drives kids academically and obviously for football purposes.
1-21.
Mm. Look, the motivational speaking, I get it. I mean, you can't refute how powerful he is when he speaks, but the consulting, I don't need you to consult me on anything. Like, outside of tackling, what have you been great at?
Yeah.
He ain't good at coaching.
No, when he was in 49ers coach for 2.5 seasons, he went 18-22. He never won more than 8 games, obviously, and he is most well-known for the post-game tirade of Vernon Davis.
Yes.
And mooning his team.
Need winners.
Yeah, that's a video. Somebody has the video of him mooning it, and I want to, like, I sound weird. Yes, I would see his butt, but I also want to see that moment.
You want to see Singletary butt?
I'd be willing to see Singletary butt if you showed me him doing it in front of the locker room and seeing what the reaction
again,
was.
Again, you need to understand context of how it built to.
Yeah.
To kind of see, okay.
What was the preamble there?
Was there premeditation going to the moon? Mm. Or did it just sort of happen and the moment took you to the moon?
I got a great question for you.
I feel like the moon just kind of, that's you can't think out a moon, can you?
No, the moon just happens.
That has to be
instantaneous.
You know, like, hey, I'm gonna moon everybody.
Yeah, when people get mooned, it's, hey, look at my butt.
look
at my butt.
Was there back and forth? Was there something from the players that led him to that?
I'll tell you that much.
I'll prove you. You're not getting my point.
Now, why did he kick Davis off the sidelines? Do you remember the backstory there?
He said he
was
quitting on him. He didn't want a player with the mentality of Vernon Davis. He kicked him out before halftime. I remember this game.
I remember him walking. I remember the visual of him like walking to the locker room.
These were
the
some dark days as a 49er fan. Troy Smith was the quarterback. It wasn't going well.
Good times.
But thankfully, it brought Jim Harbaugh. Yeah, he thought his attitude was porous. He thought he was quitting on the team. And he said, I don't want a guy like you. And you could see him, and he pointed in the locker room, and Vernon Davis left before halftime, and he never came back.
That's a great...
Which is why Vernon Davis, coincidentally, in 2011, cried when he caught that pass against the Saints.
Right, in the playoff game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a great redemption story, too, to go from that moment of getting kicked off the sideline of a game because you're supposedly quitting on your teammates to having the career that he ended up having, becoming the player that he was. That's a great redemption story.
Well, he's much like Alex Smith. Like, he got drafted, and he was a Gronkowski freak. Like, he came in, and people were like, oh my God, he's 6'5", he can run, he can jump, he's strong, he's a great route runner. And because of the coaching situation, he was just not living up to the hype. Harbaugh comes in and it changed everything. Yeah. He was a great blocking tight end for him, obviously fantastic in that middle of the field area, taking linebackers deep, completely turned his career around, and he's one
of
those...
Did.
Had he got a great coach when he came in?
Or been in the right system right
away. He probably would have been a Hall of Fame tight end. I don't know how close or far away he is from that now, but he might have had a drastically different turnaround versus it took him a few years, and then he got his S together when he got a better coach.
Yeah, once he did, he figured it out.
Here's my question. I have my coach in mind.
Okay.
Who is the current NFL coach that's going to be the next Mike Singletary? He'll fall into a random stupid league that will go away.
Oh, that's a good question.
He'll then coach high school and he'll fall flat on his face because he's actually not a great coach.
That is a really good question.
I have one guy right now currently coaching in the NFL that I think is going to go down this path if he wants to stay coaching.
The easy answer is Bill O'Brien. but I'm not going to go there.
Bill O'Brien at least goes to the playoffs.
Well, he has Deshaun Watson.
I know.
I think Singletary would have gone to the playoffs if he had Deshaun Watson.
Well, he had Alex Smith, and Alex Smith went to the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'll give you the coach. I'll give you a clue. The coach I'm thinking of is a current coordinator.
Jason Garrett. You just want to pile on Jason Garrett? Just to make fun of Jason
Garrett.
He's going
to clap his ass to a 1-21 high school record.
Coaching somewhere in Dallas, still
Come
in
on,
Texas.
Boys. Except he is not going to step down. He's going to remain steadfast that he can win it and turn it around.
Yeah, he'll be tight with the boosters of the high school. They'll keep him around for like 6 years too long. Everybody's going to question, what exactly does he do here? Does he call the plays? Is he the coordinator? No, he's just the head coach.
He just claps a lot.
He's just clapping a lot. I do want to almost tie that into my next segment. I don't know why, but sometimes I enjoy making fun of Matt Nagy in Chicago. I just find him a fascinating character.
Oh, why is that?
I don't know. Some of the stuff that he's done and some of the quotes that he's given, I kind of roll my eyes at. And then the whole draft scenario or scene with him in his room, and he had all like the play sheets up on the wall. Like, dude, that's overkill, man. This is way too much.
Also, you could have signed Cam Newton for like $10 million and not traded any assets.
Right.
Instead, they traded a fourth round pick for Nick Foles.
And he's thought of as this offensive genius. They made the playoffs because they had the best defense in the NFL 2 years ago.
Yes.
It wasn't, you know, let's not act like they
that
were
That offense
scoring.
Wasn't pretty.
This wasn't Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs here. You know what I mean? I want to tie that into my next segment because I would throw him into consideration. It's unfair to Matt Nagy, but if I'm going to answer the question, I would throw him in. But speaking of which, he admitted to something that I wonder if it's going to be enough for people to think that Chicago could turn their season around. He said he made one big mistake last year. One big mistake that derailed their entire season. We'll get to that. Crunch time next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, they want you to continue working out, so don't sweat it. Over 100 free workouts available on their Crunch Live platform, which is free to all members. CrunchLive.com. You can use it on your phone, your TV, or your tablet. Sounds like gyms are getting close.
I think we're close. Well, I don't know about Monoma County, but like Clackamas County opened.
Yeah, Clackamas County's reopened. So
Washington applied.
Washington
applied.
That's still being pending. Multnomah's not close to submitting an application.
Okay.
They can't hire enough contact tracers right now.
Ah.
We're still doing a great job. I read an article about it.
Oregonians are.
I think we're at 4,000 total so far and 148 deaths was what I read last night.
Yeah, I mean, all things considered, we have to be one of the better states in the country, yeah. I imagine, right?
Clark County's on hold for their next phase.
Well, they had a whole, what was it, like a fruit plant or something?
Yeah, a processing plant that had an outbreak of it.
Mm-hmm. So. And it goes back to the college thing we were talking about. Like, did they know that they had it? I thought it just spread because a couple of people were asymptomatic and they brought it in, and then it spread through the entire staff or something.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, yeah, I've heard the gyms are getting closer and closer. I got an email today. So that's exciting news. I know a lot of people are looking forward to getting back into a gym.
It's hard to work out for a lot of people, man. You need that gym kind of energy. You need need a destination. You need to drive somewhere and get your ass in shape.
You can only get creative so many times at home of coming up with things to lift around the house if you don't have all the equipment that you need. Statter story is coming up in the final hour of the show. Also, we're getting into some baseball stuff as the numbers were put out last night by Jeff Passan about what some guys would potentially be making. And I wonder if it changes people's opinions. You would ask the question, what NFL coach eventually would flame out in high school football? The one that we got texted in the most was Adam Gase. That's a pretty good one, isn't it?
Well, the thing with Adam Gase is he flames out, ends up in high school, and at some point gets busted for stealing the kids' drugs.
Yeah. What's wrong with his eyes? He's on a lot of drugs, man. What do you want from him?
Gase is a good one.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid one. I saw this story today on CBS, and it made me chuckle a little bit, and I wonder if we think this is what it'll take for the Bears to turn their season around. So Matt Nagy, the head coach of the Bears, he is on a redemption tour to get the opinion turned around on him, and he said he made one ginormous mistake in the season of 2019.
Drafting Mitchell Trubisky.
One big mistake. And no, it was not playing Trubisky the entire year, although I think he did eventually get benched, didn't he? And they played Chase Daniels a couple of games, or was that an injury-related thing?
Oh, I thought that was an injury.
Injury related?
I don't know if they quite benched him.
But yeah, Daniel got some.
Daniel played. I remember that. I remember us talking about, like, why would you even put him back in? I mean, Chase Daniel is much, but he's probably better than Trubisky. Well, that wasn't
the
mistake.
They benched him because he was injured. That's what they said.
Okay.
Tightness.
Tightness. And now they have, obviously, Nick Foles back in the picture. But Nagy said the mistake that he made last year was keeping his starters on the bench during the preseason. He said the decision backfired immediately with no preseason snaps under their belt. He said the Bears offense floundered through the first couple of weeks of the season. He was on the Waddle and Sylvie's show in Chicago. He said, as we talked, that's the one thing I look back on from last year that I'm not happy about. I made a decision to do in the preseason. Oh, number one, I think it's good for them to have it. But number two, it sets the mentality. So that's not going to happen this year.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He's going to play his starters this year. Will the Bears be better because of it?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they're better. It's going to be because Mitch Trubisky got better. Or because Nick Foles comes in and is competent the way that he was in Philadelphia the year that they won the Super Bowl. You know, you're doing interviews. You're obviously going to paint the picture in a positive direction for you. But come on, man. That's where you're going, that you didn't play
him
enough in preseason.
Sings that tune if Khalil Mack blows out his knee in the second preseason game.
Right. I mean, that's the catch-22 of playing guys in preseason football, is you get one injury and it derails the whole thing.
I mean, this is just the fact. I don't know. Like, I don't really have a hot take on Matt Nagy. I know you feel a certain way, and he's had some comments, and we've made fun of the Trubisky thing. He didn't draft Mitchell Trubisky. That was Ryan Pace, their general manager. I like Matt Nagy. I like the plays. You would watch them run. You would look at them and go, oh, this offense should be better than 13 points per game, or
right.
20 or whatever it ended up being. But it clearly was being held back by a quarterback who couldn't do anything down the field. So my opinion on Matt Nagy, I don't like that answer. I don't really have a hot take on him as a future play caller, or is he going to win a Super Bowl? Their biggest problem was that they did not do their homework enough in the year that they drafted Mitchell Trubisky.
Right, that's the issue.
They didn't want Mahomes, and they didn't even talk to Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, didn't even sit down with
him. It's ridiculous. That is the entire focal point of why they're not more heavily considered a Super Bowl favorite. If they had either one of those players,
without a doubt,
I don't even think there's a difference. If they had Mahomes or they had Watson, I think either way, people are putting them in that top four category the last 2 years as Super Bowl contenders. Yeah. But because they stupidly thought Mitchell Trubisky, a guy who couldn't win the job in college until his last year, they thought he was the real deal, and they didn't talk to the Heisman Trophy winner, or I should say, was Watson a winner, or was he a finalist?
I thought he was the winner.
Okay.
Let me look.
Either way, a national champion winning quarterback in Deshaun Watson, or a guy with a freak arm that a couple NFL teams were sniffing around in Mahomes, because they thought so highly of Trubisky.
He was not the winner.
I think he came up.
I think it was
up.
Lamar Jackson that year. Or Derrick Henry, one of the two, maybe.
But because they didn't want to go those two, they went with the guy from North Carolina who has done next to nothing for them.
Yeah, that was the chuckle thing I had too reading that. It's like, that's your issue is your quarterback sucks.
He can't say that yet, though.
Like, that's your problem. I know. Well, they've said it as an organization, because remember their stance initially was, he's our guy and we're not ready to move on. And then like 2 weeks later, they went out and made the move for Nick Foles, and it's going to be an open competition in training camp. So he's not your guy.
So he's not their guy.
You are ready to move on, which is smart for them. You got to exhaust all options, and maybe Foles doesn't work out, but it's better than not having a plan B that could help you out long term.
Well, and if it wasn't Nick Foles being traded to Chicago, dude, I think the biggest tell of all of how they truly feel about Trubisky, whether they say it publicly or not, you didn't pick up his fifth-year option. If you're not doing that with your quarterback you drafted, you clearly know or think he's a bust.
right.
Otherwise, you're getting a deal done.
Exactly. You want to extend him long term. So Matt Nagy came out and says the big mistake he made last year as a coach was not playing his starters. He didn't play them. I didn't remember this either. He didn't play them a single snap, apparently, the entire preseason.
Yeah, that's not why they sucked.
Yeah, it's not why they suck. That's also, like, how many teams actually do that? I get, like, some key players, quarterbacks, Khalil Mack. Like, I get that kind of stuff, but not playing your starters the entire preseason?
Well, and
that is a little weird.
I don't think people are going to feel all too bad for Chicago sports fan with the Cubs winning a few years back, the Blackhawks having a run, and then the Bulls docuseries that we watched where they won 6-8. But the element that I do think about, and you could use Chicago, you could probably think of some other cities and teams, knowing you have a championship level talent team wise, but
missing that one piece.
Position yeah. is yeah. the difference.
That kills you.
It's going to eat you up because at one point, whether that's Nick Foles this year or Foles doesn't work and Trubisky sucks again, and then they're stuck looking for a quarterback, there's a great chance, given the history of the NFL, that they look back on this 3-4 year run and go, had the talent to win a Super Bowl, and we had a crappy quarterback. Right. That was the one difference between us making a wild card slash not making it at all and us being potentially playing for the Lombardi Trophy.
And what makes a bust like an all-time bust is when you have all-time talents around them that you had the chance to draft and you didn't. Like if Sam Bowie was taken by the Blazers, but Michael Jordan sucked and everybody else in the next 5 or 6 picks was awful, we don't look back on that one. It's still like, man, you had the number 2 overall pick and you blew it. It would have been nice to have a good player there. The reason Sam Bowie is remembered is because he was taken before Michael Jordan.
Right.
And Trubisky is on that same path. If Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes sucked and they were flaming out in Houston and Kansas City, like, we wouldn't make that much of a deal out of Trubisky. It's like, man, that just would have been a really bad quarterback class. But the fact that you have one guy who is now the best in the NFL in a lot of people's eyes and another one who is already a top 5 quarterback in the league carrying a franchise, that's what makes it hurt.
When I think hindsight is the easiest thing to do in sports, to me, it's you almost have to rewrite history to a certain respect. Like, it's not so much the Bowie Jordan thing. That hurts. I mean, that's going to hurt forever. It's if you don't lose a coin flip, you get Olajuwon. And you're winning. You can't convince me. You're winning titles, championship at the very minimum with Hakeem Olajuwon with Portland.
With the rest of that team and him as your center. Are you kidding me?
I think you add that talented team with Hakeem in the 92 finals against Jordan Bulls. That's maybe a different series. And you can say what you want, but that's just the reality. Olajuwon is a next level talent. It's that stuff that almost hurts a little more. It's like the flip of a coin dictated you getting the all-world center, Hall of Fame guy with the best footwork in NBA history versus Sam Bowie. Yeah, Michael Jordan's there. That obviously hurts. You lost the coin flip, but you could have had a key. Yeah,
you could have been right there because you needed a big guy. Somebody reminds us, too, they also traded up to get Trubisky as well, which makes it...
It's not like
you weren't just sitting there at number 3. You still or 2 or wherever he was taken. You traded up to go get him.
We had a real run on trade ups with RG3 a few years down the road. It was Goff and Wentz, and then Trubisky, and then the Chiefs went up to get Mahomes, but you win a Super Bowl. That doesn't matter, right?
You can trade as many picks as you want.
You can tell me what those picks were, and I still don't care. They won the Super Bowl, so it was worth it.
Somebody said Nagy probably thought Trubisky couldn't handle the preseason competition level and pressure. It's a good point. He just wasn't quite ready for it yet. Made him sit for the 4 games. Another one's Bears blew it big time. You can miss on a lineman, but not a quarterback. Yeah. Sad Bears fan. So, yeah, that was from Matt Nagy, though. He said that was his big mistake last year is not playing guys in the preseason. So, if there is a preseason this year, look forward to the Bears starters playing, apparently, a lot of football.
Well, we didn't do the sports question of the day I teased. We don't have to do that, but I want to throw this out. Looking at some images, I think the white with the navy blue pants, the road unis.
The Bears road unis.
Severely underplayed as one of the best in sports.
They are.
Clean look.
I also love their Michigan style throwback helmets.
Oh, you like it with the orange?
I love those, dude. Yeah. The blue with the orange, whatever they are, horns, whatever the hell they are, going back. I love those helmets, man. That's such a clean look.
I'm with you. The only problem is that's such a Michigan-related thing in my mind that I'm like, you're copying a college.
Yeah.
But I don't hate them either.
Yeah, good look. They got good unis. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness. While they're temporarily closed, they want you to continue working out. Don't sweat it. 100 free workouts available online. CrunchLife.com. Also, keep an eye on, depending on what county you're in, they're all trying to gear up and get those gyms up and running again. So keep an eye on that as hopefully it is right around the corner. Stat or story coming up in the final hour at 2:15. We can get to your underrated sports athlete question of the day. We had some good ones texted in earlier. I have a couple that came to mind as well. What else we got in the final hour? There was an upset pick in college football. I wonder how a local fan base feels about it. I want to start, though, with the financial situation in baseball. I know we've talked about it a lot, but Jeff Passan of ESPN put numbers basically out there of what guys were set to make and what they would be making. And if you were a Major League Baseball player, would you sign off on that deal? We'll start the final hour there next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.